Welcome to Whitehall Works. I'm Jenna.
And I'm Zach.
And today, well, before we get started, Zach, happy anniversary. It is our 1 year anniversary.
It's a special day.
It is a special day. So, and Brett, happy anniversary. Yes, yes.
And Megan.
And Megan, yes. But yes, so we've been doing this podcast for 1 year.
And so I think, you know, when we talk about what we've learned over the last year, I think following your script has really helped. And really seeking out different guests that had different viewpoints and different topics to talk about, I think the feedback we've received. We're very thankful for everyone who has joined us on this journey and has listened in. We've had a lot of fun over the last year, you know, doing these.
Yes, absolutely. So today we are going to talk a little bit about transportation again.
Well, so we talked about transportation before. We were fortunate to have Michael Logis with CODA join us and talk a little bit about the day-to-day. But, you know, obviously there's a number of reasons why, as economic development professionals, we have interest in transportation and the options it creates for our community.
Yep. So to recap a little bit about what we talked about when Michael was here from CODA, we talked about the importance of, you know, transportation as an attraction and retention and expansion strategy for businesses, developing transportation alternatives and rethinking the ways communities develop their land use and transportation patterns can be more, bring more jobs and talent to a community, as well as communities to be well-rounded and sustainable for the long term.
So that's a really long
that's
way.
That's a long of, run-on that, sentence. That's,
listen, there was a, I think I put a comma in there. I mean, I think, here's what I would say, Jen. I think what we've seen over the last number of years is communities really taking a deep dive in understanding that transit doesn't just mean cars.
Right.
And it doesn't just mean there's a bus route somewhere nearby. Mm-hmm. That we're really taking a concerted and conscious effort to ensure that we're looking at multiple modes of transportation. And so that's today's episode is really about that transformational transportation. And so we are really excited to introduce our guest, who is Thea Ewing, who is the Director of Transportation for the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. Before I bring Thea in, I want to tell a real quick story about Thea. I've known Thea now for, you know, almost a decade. And honestly, the region has no better advocate for transportation and solving problems through great transit and solution-based problem solving. The city of Whitehall has a, for those of you who have been in Whitehall, there is a railroad overpass, Genesee in Wyoming, the Ohio Central Railroad has an overpass along Hamilton Road. It is right at our gateway. In fact, half of the structure is in Columbus and half of it is in Whitehall. And the structure was built in 1942. And by the early 2000s, it had really seen its best days gone by. It was in really bad shape. A lot of spalling and a lot of concrete that would fall off and damage cars. And so, you know, as development director and public service director, that was one of the areas that our team tried to tackle first when we came in 2012. And, you know, the entire project from repaving Hamilton Road and fixing the railroad overpass and doing other infrastructure improvements was about $3 million. And we had no idea how to go about getting the railroad to, you know, cooperate, to help, you know, how to pay for it. So one of our first stops was to the Development Service Agency where Thea previously worked. And she was instrumental in kind of setting out all of the different pots of money and different grants that were available. And then Thea moves over to MORPC, to the Mid-Ohio Regional Planning Commission. And one of our first calls was to us helping us arrange a meeting with the Ohio Rail Development Commission, as well as the railroad representatives. And it was in that meeting that we were able to put together this partnership and eventually get this bridge completely refaced. And it's now, you know, a great representation of what collaboration can do. But without Thea, we aren't able to put together the $3 million in infrastructure funds. And it certainly is now, you know, the gateway into Whitehall from the airport. And it certainly has changed that face of Whitehall, directly led to business investment because people could see that we were making infrastructure improvements. And so businesses like Heartland Bank or Byers Auto would not have made the investments they did without Thea's direct involvement. So I want to start our welcoming Thea with that story. And again, thanking her for being a champion for Whitehall and the region.
Thanks, Zach. I was just really glad to actually see something take off with the railroad. A lot of times you refer people on a project like this and you're like, I don't know what's going to happen there, but I think it speaks to the tenacity of Whitehall and the team there that just wants to get things done and make things happen for their community. You stayed on it. You made it happen. And it looks great. Well, what a great business corridor.
Well, right? Thanks. So, Thea, why don't you tell us a little bit about Morpsey, who Morpsey is, and then a little bit about your role at Morpsey.
Well, I have to tell you, I have one of the most exciting jobs in this day and age. I am so excited to work in transportation in a time when it is so transformational to our lives and it's changing. I mean, this is like, I'm a musical buff, right? So I think if I listen to the musical Oklahoma, and they're talking about the gas buggies, right? And I'm like, they're fascinated by this new transportation. We're talking about a time when there's all these new ways of transportation.
Yes, we moved from the Surrey with the fringe on top.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, then he goes into Kansas City and he sees these gas buggies. He must have seen at least 20 of them go by. And now, we're no longer in the Surrey with the fringe on top. Yes. So
Well done, Jenna.
Thank you, Jenna. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yes, so, that's what you have a film history major here for.
Awesome. So I just think about like the amazement of a person back in a time when they had not seen a car, right? And now they're seeing a car. And now we're talking about things like vertiports, right? These are places where individual aircraft are going to take off, right? And Hyperloop pods, right? I mean, we're in that time and your vehicle knows all this stuff. So I'm so excited to be a part of bringing transportation. And, the thing is I work on bike paths to bustling interstates on a regular basis doing the funding, but it's also all changing, right? And that's happened in the time that I've started my career. And so at Morpsey, we work on transportation, but we do all kinds of things working with our local communities here in Central Ohio. And I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that we help people with weatherizing their homes and doing things around sustainability. We're really excited to be in all that stuff. But I've got to tell you, Zach, I've got the coolest job at Morpsey. So transportation guru, I love it. I've got a wonderful team, and we're always out here working for our Central Ohio partners like Whitehall.
So we've talked repeatedly on the podcast about how the Columbus region continues to grow. We anticipate, a population increase of 1 million people, over the coming 30 years. Can you talk about how Morpsey is kind of working towards preparing for that growth, and also how are we adapting to the new normal of the pandemic?
All right. So, we had already been working on the growth piece prior to the pandemic, and I'm kind of questioning how that's going to impact the whole growth conversation. But so in the growth piece, we are a place where people want to live. This is a place where companies want to bring their companies. And I'm just going to tell you a little, I think there's a lot of good reasons why, but there's one that I don't think we take enough credit for. And that is, we're a place where climate change impacts are not going to be so significant. So, I mean, we're desirable, yes. But now you're starting to see weather events happening in awesome places like Florida or California where, they're great to visit, but they're not going to be great to live is the problem. And we still have a reasonable price on a home, right? We're trying to keep it that way. And we have great places to work. So it's a great mix. We've got college educated people. We have a diverse work mix here. You can get a job whether you have a degree or not. So I think, Central Ohio definitely has a lot of attraction pieces. And there are attraction not just to the people who live here, but people who may be coming here from another country. Right. So we really have to step our game up in a way to attract international people or people who are at least a little bit more worldly in the transportation system than we had historically been. Right. So we're really, that's the piece is we know we're on this growth track. Right.
Right.
And then in the pandemic world. So the way that works is, one of the modes of transportation now is broadband. Right. We got to get this right. Because it's the way people are going to go to work. And if anything, that's going to give us capacity for more people than what we were anticipating. So although I think, some people may think that the pandemic may have slowed people down in some respects, less populated places or more like, the Midwest are actually going to attract more people. They're moving out of the big city. They're wanting to go to a place where if they got to work from home, there's enough space in the house to feel like you're not doing it at the dining room table, you know? So I just think there's like a lot of pieces to this that just create this growth tsunami even more for Central Ohio. And it's exciting.
No, I think that's a really great point. In fact, I think there was an article here recently that I read about, you know, some of the high cost areas like New York, like San Francisco, that places in the Midwest, whether it's Columbus or Indianapolis or others, you know, really become the winner out of that equation when you factor in the lower cost of living that occurs in the Midwest than some of those other large, dense, you know, metropolitan, you know, areas. So no, I definitely think you're right on there. Can you talk a little bit about what's on the horizon in transportation? And what are some of the things that, you know, I know you talk about this being the coolest job around. What are some of the things that, you know, specifically that get you really excited about, you know, projects you're working on?
All right. So right here in Central Ohio, really exciting stuff going on. At the top of my list is Linkus, right? So Linkus is looking at all the corridors for growth in the region and where we have historically made improvements and we have seen growth, but there may be some reinvestment along those corridors. You know, Broad and Main are definitely parts of that. You guys are doing a great job along those corridors. And the idea being that we've got to step up our transportation game. I mean, cars are just not going to be the way. You know, folks in LA or other large cities, even Austin, which isn't that much, you know, different from us, you know, it's a major issue with the transportation, the congestion. So we've really got to think about ways to move people in different ways, including on bus rapid transit, light rail. And so this is really about taking the studies where we've done the look at whether we could accommodate these forms of transportation and taking them to the point where we can actually build them.
So to that point on Linkus, you're looking at all of these corridors. When do you think that, you know, your team and Morphsy will kind of have an idea on, you know, preferred routes and, you know, some of the action items that would come out of some of that studying?
Well, I think that, you know, in the next 6 months to a year, you're going to see the very first routes being identified and really looking at paths forward pretty quickly. We have some various grants we're trying to go after. I can't say that for sure, you know, because I know some of these processes actually you have to apply for.
Right.
So I definitely want to say that the opportunity could come up quick and we're very hopeful. But I do see it in the next decade that you're going to see several of these corridors build out, right? So north in the northwest along Olentangy River Road, so the east and west of Broad and possibly Main in on the east side, and then in particular moving down Parsons, High and Parsons towards the Rickenbacker area. So I those are kind of at the top of my list, although there's several more that are being looked at. But I mean, this is really important if we're going to get this growth thing right, and we have to, or this is going to be a mess.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the community engagement process that you kind of went through on this Linkus? I know Morphsy does a great job at community engagement in their planning.
Yeah, so this is a collaboration. It's not just Morphsy, so mm-hmm. we cannot take this on by ourselves. And so there's quite a bit of ownership with CODA, mm-hmm. The City of Columbus, and great stakeholder partners like Whitehall. There's certainly been some stakeholder engagement, and we've had to do most of it online. There has been mm-hmm. some surveys as well, too. So we're really just starting that process. And actually, I was just on a call today where they were going over some of the survey results, and we want to do a better job reaching out to underrepresented populations as we go through this process. And by better, I don't mean like we didn't do a good job at start. We just want to make sure that this is on the front of mind for many people in Central Ohio so that they give us true feedback on what they need in the future.
No, I think that's I think any government or quasi-government organization, you know, one of the best things you can do is take, you know, a hard look to make sure that you are reaching out and connecting with groups of all types to ensure that whatever plan or project you come up with is done so in an equitable way. I think that's, you know, key, you know, to what Morphsy's success has been over the last number of years.
100%. 100%. So, Yeah, we are really excited about this and so many other just more traditional projects that we are doing with like you and the city of Columbus and Dublin. Just
so,
I can't imagine much more.
When I grow up in transit, I want to be Thea. and you know how much of a Hyperloop nerd I am, but I'd be remiss if we didn't spend a little bit of time talking about Hyperloop in Central Ohio and obviously the connection between Pittsburgh, Columbus, and Chicago. Can you kind of give us a sense of where that – I know we – MORPC had started a plan, a feasibility study on that, not necessarily – dedicated to Hyperloop, but certainly a transit study. Can you kind of give us a sense of where that is and what kind of next steps on that could be?
Yeah, so we looked at Hyperloop as the technology, as well as we did pair that up with rail. So we looked at rail at the same time, connecting Chicago, Columbus, and Pittsburgh on mostly existing rail right of way. We are done with that feasibility study. It's feasible. And when we say feasible, that doesn't mean anything about money, by the way. so that means it's physically feasible. And regardless of how much money, depending on how much money you have, right? So that being said, we don't really have a lot of information about the financial piece of it, right? So we're still working on that. And that's because the technology of Hyperloop is actually changing. It's evolving. It's new, right? So this would be like us talking about we want to buy this car, but they're still working on it and they're adding all these new features. And every time you go to pinpoint down on what you're going to pay for it, they're like, well, we modified that part and now it's going to be this much more or this much less. So they're still refining that. And so one of our roles in that process is to really get engaged with the process for regulating this new technology. So letting our lawmakers know that we're interested in getting the process regulated so that we can potentially look into getting this off the ground in Central Ohio. So we've been involved with that, the whole working with the federal government to share our comments and share our study. And kind of in the meantime, we've also considered rail and working with rail too. That there's been some conversation about Amtrak showing some interest in a corridor in Central Ohio, not the specific corridor. So, I'm very hopeful about both sides. And the best part about the Hyperloop piece is they recently had one of their team members move to Ohio. So we have regular access to somebody who actually grew up here and went to Ohio State and worked for them. And so is working on this every day in Central Ohio now. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is we're just kind of waiting for – not necessarily waiting. We're actively participating in seeing that regulatory piece done because that's really what's standing in the way right now.
So, Thea, can you talk a little bit about – we touched on this being a workforce attraction piece. I know when we talk to businesses, that's very important to them. Like, can they get around – are they on a bus line and all that stuff? So I know that that's important for our workforce and in the future as we keep growing. So can you talk a little bit about maybe some things that are going on at MORPC that could help with that attraction piece?
Yeah, thank you, Jenna. Good question. So we have been working on something known as GoHio. GoHio is actually a commute system that employers can have for their employees on, and they kind of works on their cell phone. They can report their commute. So like if you don't, it's kind of like a health tracker, right?
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
like I rode to work on my bike today or whatever. And then they can enter for a prize at work, right? And
I like prizes.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And
who doesn't?
It's meant to encourage people to not use a single occupancy vehicle. And especially like in the summer, I feel like it's a good opportunity for people to try different parts of their commute. And I think what we've learned through the pandemic, especially if you were working from home, is that commute part of the day is an important part of your mental health, right? Like it's a part of just like that 30 minutes of quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what if you could turn that into a relaxing bike ride, right? You're getting your exercise too. Or, you know, if you're a transit rider, you walk more. obviously, because you have to walk to the bus stop and stuff. So we're encouraging and working with employers to encourage people to use other modes. And this is helpful to the employer because now this employee knows more than just their car getting to and from. And so, and also parking is expensive, right?
Right.
Owning all that land, even if it's free parking, well, somebody's paying the rent on that ground. Right. Even if it's just a sea of asphalt. So this is a great opportunity through. We have this program. It is called GoHio on it's a GoHio commute on Morpsey. So I would encourage you to check it out, especially as people are coming out of the pandemic. Okay? There's a lot of faster drivers right now. So get out of the car. You don't even have to drive. We'll make sure you get there.
And I think that's a really important part. I mean, I think, you know, people's commute times have decreased, obviously, because there's more people working from home. And as we potentially come out of the pandemic and people return to their office, you know, I think as a region, I think it's a really smart strategy to try to encourage people as they're going back to the office to find other modes of transportation so that we don't see just that increase back to those longer commutes.
Right.
I do think that, you know, we're going to start to see the traffic pick back up after we're about 10% down right now. And
is that all it is? Because I will tell you that 10% is significant.
Yes.
So what it is that they're not all heading out in the peak hour anymore.
Oh,
right. So you don't have people all trying to go to work at the same time and all getting off of work at the same time, which the majority, you know, between school and work, you see significant peak hour issues. Mm. So this is we're almost at nearly the same traffic with just different times. So what does that mean for how we now plan for the workforce? Mm-hmm. Why not work with employers in your area? And this is hard. Or school districts in your area, and think about, well, let's stagger our times. And I know that some have had, I've worked in communities where we've tried to convince a school district or an employer, and they really resist. But this, if this isn't proof right here that we've got it. And in some cases, we have more trucks on the road than we had before.
Right.
Because that is the one thing that's moving.
It's the logistics.
It's the logistics. Mm-hmm. So we have more freight out there. And the only thing is just stay safe, you know, like drive the speed limit. It's so easy to go over the speed limit right now because of how, you know, the roads are designed for the higher speeds. And now there's not as much cars on them. So there's that. And then just if you're out walking and biking, be very cognizant of your surroundings because, you know, people are able to move faster.
Yeah. So I want to maybe end with this again, you know, in some of the development projects that we've been working on over the last number of years and certainly on some of the transit projects, you know, having access to you and your staff to help us really kind of rethink how we're putting infrastructure together, you know, really working towards complete streets and different modes of mobility, you know, has really, you know, forced the city to, I think, play a different role than maybe we did 10 years ago, where we only thought about curb to curb and how wide can we make the lanes so that we can increase traffic and therefore get rid of congestion. And that simply isn't going to work. We can't pave our way out of congestion. We can't, you know, add more lanes to get out of congestion. And so I think the work that you and your team have done to arm us with, you know, facts and with study and with data has really helped us improve our transportation network. And, you know, we're really excited about some of these larger transportation projects we have coming up that will really help shape and move Whitehall in that direction.
Yeah, we are really excited to see you guys take off. So good luck on all the things you're working on out there. Really impressed with all your work around Woodcliff and excited to see the things you're doing get done in Whitehall.
Well, thanks. Again, I want to thank Thea for being here today. Thea, before we let you go, you want to give our listeners a heads up on an important event coming up for Morpsey?
Yeah, Zach. We are getting ready to host our annual State of the Region. It is going to be held virtually on March 31st. And we have a great keynote speaker coming.
Yeah,
his
do.
Name is Jonathan Rose. So I'm hoping that this will certainly draw people out to see it. It is a virtual event, and you can see more about how to sign up on our website. It's 11:30 on March 31st.
And we'll have more details for that in the show notes.
Thank you.
Excellent. And similarly, we have our State of the City coming up on March 18th, also a virtual event. And you can check that out at whitehall-oh.us/SOC.
Ooh, backslash.
Uh-huh.
Always with the backslash. So thank everyone again for joining us for our anniversary show. Again, thanks to Thea for informing us about some of the transformational transportation going on in our region.
There you go.
With that.
Now back to work.
Thanks for listening to Whitehall Works. This is a show hosted by the Economic Development Team, Zach and Jenna, at the City of Whitehall, a suburb of about 19,000 residents located in the Columbus, Ohio region. Economic development is a phrase you often hear, but the general public may not know what it means in practice. As a profession, economic development focuses on the well-being and quality of life in a local community, region, state, or country. Each episode will have a topic or a breakdown of efforts the City of Whitehall is working on to improve their community. But you are the community experts, and we want to hear from you. If you have any topics or questions for Zach and Jenna to talk about on the show, please email Whitehall Works Podcast in the subject line to economicdevelopment@whitehall-oh.us. Now back to work.